Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed, and the welding mechanics are hard at work. And we've got them all here today. Amazingly, we've got everybody here with us this morning, actually. And everybody's ready to go to work. Good evening, all, or good afternoon. Yeah, right. What is it? Good morning, all. Welcome into another Race Trip Motors for its hour. Frat House White Company. I don't know what time it is. I don't know what day it is. But I do know that we're coming from the garage and we're going to sit here and for the next hour or so.
Big dummy.
Yeah, I know. Thank you very much. We're going to start things off just right. And we're going to be talking NASCAR for the next hour or so. And it was, coming off of last week, we're heading to Dover this week. Last week down at Charlotte. Coca-Cola 600, the longest race, on the NASCAR schedule, and it only got longer last week because, of course, we had a rain delay. Oh yeah, that's always enjoyable. So that put the race going, into the late hours of the evening. But I must tell you, good race. It was a really, really good race, and an interesting one because here we go again. You know, we've been talking about it here on Race Trim now for the better part of almost this whole season. The young drivers, huh? And another first time ever winner we saw last week, Austin Dillon getting the win. I had been saying it for a little while now. Didn't have him on my team, I will say, last week in particular, but you kind of had a gut feeling Austin Dillon was going to get one sooner or later. And he got one last week. And so another first-time driver. It's a remarkable situation as we are literally watching the changeover, the changing of the guard in NASCAR. And I got to be honest here, just like I was with Stenhouse the other week, I am exactly the same way with Dillon. I'm all right with it. I'm great with it. I think it's wonderful when you see somebody get their very first win of the season or of their career in Cup. So we're going to take a look at that. We're going to take a look at the fact that Austin Dillon goes and gets that win. But I got to be honest with you, I think it's somewhat unfortunate that it was a tad bit overshadowed. And this is going to be interesting because this is coming from me. I'm not going to have very good comments here this morning for, my favorite driver. Austin Dillon's win was a bit overshadowed by a post-race press conference that lasted all of about 12 seconds from a crybaby. Yeah. Kyle Busch. We'll touch on that one as well. Kyle, grow the hell up. That's all I got to say. We'll take a look in on, we're talking about the young drivers. We'll take a look at where the young drivers stood last week and where they stand overall on the leaderboard. Ryan Blaney has certainly gotten the attention of many and, in fact, has really gotten the attention of one Roger Penske this past week. Of course, not that Roger Penske didn't know who Ryan Blaney was. Come on, let's get it straight. certainly knows who he is, helping pay for him. But Penske comes out this past week and, had no problem saying outright, I'm looking to get three cars on the main team. And, the guy I want driving the third one, Ryan Blaney. You know, the NFL has a rule against tampering. I guess NASCAR doesn't. I don't know. I find that a little bit, I don't know. We'll touch on it, and we'll touch on a bunch of other topics as well as we've got time for them, things that have been, as usual, on the agenda here, but perhaps maybe for one reason or another we haven't gotten time to get to over the past couple of weeks. And as I pointed out, we're heading to the Monster Mile today as well. So we'll take a look in on what we can expect there as we go through the afternoon. One of the earliest races on, that is time-wise, on the schedule this season, as we do have a 1 o'clock start for the race at Dover. Now, we've got people all over the place. From what I understand, we've got Sidekick joining us from Dover. We're going to check in with him in 1 second here. We've got, we weren't supposed to have Christian Cooley from on pitroad.com, but we do. So we've got folks all over the place coming to us from, well, let's find out where Sidekick is, and let's get him in here. Sidekick, how are we doing this morning?
Everything's great.
Everything's great. Good.
The Piggly Wiggly Goodies Headache Powder Ford Fusion. We made it down here. The car wasn't run that well in a pack. You know, it really wanted to be out front, but NASCAR John led most of the race down. We got three wide. There was the Blue Lightning Ford Mustang, and then we had NASCAR John going. A little heavy on the brakes, had some brake rotors issues early on, but we came home with a P4, looking for some sponsorship, maybe try to get to Pocono next week, try to get to the Glen here coming up, and God willing, we'll be at Homestead Miami here at the end of the season. Back to you guys in the studio.
That's beautiful. That's now you just got down there. I mean, you're down there with a couple of people, from what I understand, some folks that are that.
We got a whole pit crew here going. Yeah.
NASCAR John, of course, you're down there with NASCAR John. NASCAR John, for everybody that listens to the program regularly, one of our regular contributors to our weekly Eat My Dust Picks. So, all right. Well, listen, the best to everybody. Give our regards to the entire crew there. All right. Let's get Brandon in. Good morning, Brandon.
Hello. Hello.
This is going to be a wild one, I think. I think this is going to be a wild one.
Yeah. Sorry. That's cool.
And Christian Cooley jumping in with us. Good to have you. We didn't think we were going to get you this morning, but we appreciate it.
I didn't think we were either, but we're here, so everything's great.
Everything's great.
Except for Kyle Busch.
Everybody's car made it over. My car didn't even leave Chattanooga, so we're still here in Chattanooga, but we got some good news coming this week, and so we're literally looking forward to this week. It'll be a good week, hopefully. It'll be better than this week. This week hadn't been a very good week for me personally, but it's good to be here.
Very good. We appreciate it. Always love having a full garage here. All right. Yeah, except for Kyle Busch. Yeah, we're gonna touch on Kyle Busch here in a little bit. But let's talk about the big news, really, and not to take anything away from it, because I frankly think it's unfortunate. I think Kyle Busch really stole a lot of the limelight away from Austin Dillon, and it should have been there. It really should have been. First of all, the race got it concluded late,
for a lot of people. Very late.
Right.
I didn't get back to the hotel like 3 a.m.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember, what time did it actually end here?
I think 1:45.
Was that what time it was? Yeah, I know it was. I saw it all the way to the conclusion. But, you know, so it got, you know, it ended late, which took some of the, you know, attention away from Austin Dillon. And then you get, you know, and like I said, we'll really delve into Kyle because I got audio from Kyle in a little bit. But we'll dive into that. But then, you know, Kyle Busch has got to have his antics, and it takes away the limelight from Austin Dillon again. You know, Austin Dillon's somebody that I've talked about here on the air, and I've said a couple of times this season, hey, you know what? It's a matter of time before this kid's going to get – he's going to get a win. And I've been regularly lumping him in there as part of that crew of young drivers. And so here we go again, guys, another first-time winner this year. You throw in people like – you know, you got Stenhouse in there, and you got Austin Dillon, and you got Kyle Larson. Of course, Larson's had a second win this year, but, you know, Ryan Newman, who rarely gets wins, he got a win this year. We're seeing a lot of, oh, God, should I say parity? I don't know, just change. We're seeing a lot of, you know, we're not seeing the regulars winning constantly, and I think it's refreshing. Jump in. Sidekick,
well, that's probably
thought?
Why. That's probably why Kyle Busch's panties are in a bunch, because he ain't winning. Let's get it straight. He's just not a happy camper at the moment. He's not winning. He wanted to, from what I heard, he wanted to have the All-Star 600 sweep and, you know, cry to everybody who'd listen.
Sidekick, your thoughts on Austin Dillon.
How about 591 races since we saw the three in the winner's circle?
Wow.
How many races was that?
How about that?
591.
91.
Wow.
Yep. I didn't feel like doing the math this week, so...
Well, that's cool. I will say this, from being a former Dale Earnhardt, well, I guess I still am a Dale Earnhardt fan, but being a fan of Dale Sr., it was good seeing that car back in victory lane. I will say that.
And guys, it was all fuel strategy. That's what it was. You know, I got to be honest. I mean, here I was, and I, you know, fantasy wise. My team was stacked last week. I got to be honest. My team was stacked. I had Kyle. I had Ryan. Martin Truex on there. I had Eric Jones on there. I had Ryan Blaney on there. So my team was stacked last week. But I'm going to tell you, as soon as I saw Martin Truex and Kyle Busch pit when they did late in that race, I said, they're out of it. They're not going to win it. There's no way. There's no way. I knew it. And that's exactly the way it went. Now, the interesting thing was there was a lot of concern that Dillon might not even have made it. And, in fact, he had so little fuel at the end, he couldn't even do a burnout, which probably made everybody, you know, at NASCAR very happy, because then we didn't wreck the car. And it was easier to get through post-race inspection. But amazing, it was all done on fuel strategy. And it was really, really well done. You know, make no mistake, he was rolling a die because, you know, a lot of thought was he was going to run out of gas.
Well, that's good, though. It's good to see multiple strategies play out once in a while. You know, we see this before where, you know, somebody's trying to stay out. If they, you know, then the caution comes out, wrecks their strategy. It's good to see it actually work out for somebody. You know, it is that's the whole point of a distance. You know, it's who gets the 600 miles first. It's not who has the fastest car. And you know, that just proves there's ways you can win a race without having the best car on the track. And I think that's good. That gives everybody in the field hope.
Mm-hmm.
As you said earlier, it's not the same people winning all the time.
Exactly.
Not now, obviously, I think, you know, RCR as a whole has won some races here and there, but not as many as they have in the past, for sure, certainly since Kevin Harvick left. So it was good seeing they have now two different drivers, so it's good to see that.
Yep. Yep. Any thoughts, real quick, Psychic or Christian, the fuel strategy concept?
You know, I haven't seen a fuel strategy race in person before, so it was kind of neat. It was kind of funny because I had one of the scanners last weekend, and when Austin Dillon's team came on the radio and said that once we get to three to go, we're going to need to flip that switch. And the little switch you're talking about is a switch. It's got a little box of fuel that has enough to get them to the pit road to refuel. Well, when they suddenly said turn to flip the switch with one lap to go, I kind of knew he was going to make it because he needed one lap on a tank that had three. So it was kind of good because you're sitting there going, well, now you're starting to sit and wonder, is Truex or is Busch going to catch Dillon? And neither of them did, and Kyle Busch dropped the mic, and
yeah,
I think Truex did too. So, I mean, it was a rough situation, a good race last weekend, one of the best races I've seen in person this season and in a good while. But it's really hard to back up the Nashville race from earlier this season. But that race was a very good race. It was long. It featured everything I think you could ever have in a motorsports race. You had a huge wreck at the beginning. You had a rain delay. You had fuel strategy. You had everything you could possibly want a NASCAR race in one day.
And you had a first time winner, which, like I said, I'm okay with. I think it's great.
It's not only a first-time winner, though. It's a first-time winner in a car that has a lot of NASCAR history.
But that paid a lot of people off.
What's that?
Not everybody's all happy joy that the three-car returned to victory lane.
Really? Why?
People are thinking that it's diminishing the Earnhardt legacy.
You know what? It's the retired number thing, and people need to get over it. They're not doing it. NASCAR has not retired numbers. They didn't retire Richard Petty. They're not retiring, you know, Dale Sr. So, you know, just get over it. I don't think if Dale Earnhardt was still alive today, he would not want that car not being run. I guarantee you that.
I do need to do some research and do some asking with some NASCAR people, but rumor had it this week, there actually is a number in the Cup Series that is retired.
Really?
I don't remember what number it was, but I've got to figure it out because I just heard it on Facebook this week. Not saying that everything you see on Facebook's true. I mean, I thought Trump had been beheaded this week, but it didn't happen. Nah. Everything on Facebook's not real, but I might have to look that up because there's a chance that there could be a number that is retired. But
I heard it's like a modified number or something.
I heard it's like a 64 or 63.
Yeah, it's Sam somebody's his name, and it's not. I don't think it's in Cup. I think it's at a lower series somewhere.
Yeah,
but it's like the only one the only number. But I don't think it's even NASCAR. I think it's some kind of modified series. But anyway, it's a bad argument. You know, like I said, if he was alive, he'd want that car running and he'd want that car winning. So I'm sure he was cheering.
They should retire the 10.
Static is doing a good job of that.
You know, for anybody that wants to complain about it, they haven't complained in 3 years. I mean, what, the three's been out there for, this is the third season, if I'm not mistaken. Now, I know that there was a little bit of static, a little bit of disgruntlement when the announcement first came that the three was coming back. A little bit. I remember that. Okay? But the car's been running out there now for 3 years, and there's not been any kind of static at all. And it gets its first win, and suddenly, you know, what people are going to complain about it. I mean, leave it. If there was a time to complain, the time to complain has been all the way through, not, you know, wait until he gets his win and then start complaining about it. That's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. I don't know. Of course,
I agree.
You know, it's me. I kind of discount myself a little bit because, as I pointed out so many times, I still consider myself newer to the sport than most people. So I don't have the kind of connection, I suppose, that some other people might. I guess in some respects I understand it, but at the same time, I think you have to kind of get over it. That's all. But anyhow, this is the last lap. Let me play it real quick. This was how it ended, how the race ended last week. You'll hear the fuel strategy being discussed here by the guys up in the booth. This was the last, I guess it was the last lap from the race last week at Charlotte.
You're running out. Yep, I'm out.
He's out.
Simpler. We're running around here. We'll give you a little bit of gas.
Austin Dillon, the new leader, as Jimmy Johnson is out of gas.
Freeze going to make it.
Richard Childress's grandson trying to return the 3 to NASCAR victory lane.
There you go.
The white flag wave, sponsored by Credit One Bank.
Tell you what, if he can make it to turn 3 and 4, he can coast.
Now, Kyle Busch just went to the outside of the 78 to take over second place. If runs out of fuel, he'll be the winner.
That 3's got it made. He's down on the bottom, coming around turns 3 and 4.
He's got to get there on fumes. Austin Dillon wins at Charlotte for Richard Childress Racing, Dow, and Chevrolet.
And that's how it sounded the other last Sunday, anyhow. Interesting article I was reading up yesterday talking about Austin Dillon's win and how it only further, you know, when you're seeing, as I pointed out, when you're seeing people like Dillon in the winner's circle and Stenhouse and like I said, Ryan Newman, who rarely wins but got a win this season. When you're seeing folks like that in the winner's circle, you know, here we are. We're at midpoint today, guys. 26 races in the regular season, and we're at race number 13. Midpoint of the season, you got to think, you know, this is putting a little bit of extra added pressure on drivers like Harvick. And we've talked about Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin. You know, Logano's got an encumbered win, so it's really not a win. You know, a little extra pressure on these guys today. Now, you know, today at Dover, I think we started seeing a little bit of it last week. I think we started seeing a little bit of it at the All-Star race and maybe even the week before the All-Star race. The Toyotas suddenly do seem to be running a bit better. So when you start looking down the line, you know, the JGR group are performing a little bit better recently. And when you take a look at the lineup today at Dover, well, 5 out of the top 7 cars in qualifying are all Toyotas. Kyle Busch has got the pole, Martin Truex number 2, Daniel Suarez number 3. Matt Kenseth is number 4, and Eric Jones is coming in at 7. So while the pressure might be on the Hamlins and the Matt Kenseths and the Kyle Busches, just like we saw, and just like I pointed out with Austin Dillon, as I said, hey, it's a matter of time. Austin Dillon's going to get a win. Look, it's a matter of time before JGR gets gets a couple of wins, right? I mean, that's... we got half the season. There's nothing here to worry about, right?
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't think there's anything to worry about. You are right. Joe Gibbs Racing is starting to find something. My pick today for today's win will reflect on how I feel about Joe Gibbs Racing, how they're going to do today. I'm not seeing Kyle Busch winning today. I figure he's going to manage to find a way to screw it up again and, you know, give the media another soundbite to have this week. But I don't think you're going to see an experienced guy go to victory lane today. I really see another first-time winner. I think this will be the first year, and I read this yesterday, and I agree with whoever wrote it. I think this will be the first year that you're going to go to Richmond not knowing who's going to make the chase, because I feel we're going to have more than 16 winners this year, without a doubt. But I don't think Joe Gibbs Racing has anything to worry about. They're entering some of their best tracks. I mean, Dover has been a very good track for Joe Gibbs Racing. Pocono has been a very good track for Joe Gibbs Racing. Kyle Busch won at Sonoma a couple years ago. Then we got a couple others, and we got Daytona in July where Kyle Busch has won before. You've got Kentucky where Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski have just made it their playground. So I don't think you're going to have to – if you're a Joe Gibbs fan, I don't think you should be worried. I do think you need to be concerned. I think Joe Gibbs needs to be concerned because they're – yes, they're up front, but not winning races is – Isn't gonna cut it, and so, I mean, the best thing you've got this year is true. We've had different winners, but really you've had the same cars up front every weekend, and Joe Gibbs has had cars up front every weekend, and so I mean, the win is coming for Joe Gibbs. How many they're gonna get? I don't know. But I think right now, we're pretty far off from Richmond, which is a positive. But I think right now you should just start racing for points. Start getting playoff points and start tallying up those playoff points. And if you can manage to pull a win, pull a win. If you can't, don't risk it. Get as many points as you can. And then as we get – I'm going to say the go-or-go-home stage of the season will have to be – right there at Bristol and that stage of the season, because I feel like if you win in those races, I think you could start a momentum in the playoffs and you could possibly end up on the stage in Homestead at the end of the year. So I don't think this part of the year you need to be concerned. Used to, I would say you'd need to be, but now with this new chase format, or with the new playoff format, I don't really see the cause for concern or worry on the half of, on the part of Joe Gibbs Racing. But as I said, I think we're going to see a lot of winners this year. I think we're going to get – I'm going with 18 different winners this year, and I'm pretty sure Joe Gibbs will have a couple of those.
Christian, a question for you. I hear what you're saying with regard to your kind of strategy as to how to play the season. You know, rack up the points. Don't worry about getting the wins. If you can get a win, get it, but don't risk it. I hear you what you're saying there. But doesn't that kind of contradict what you're also saying about the fact that, hey, we may very well have more than 16 winners? Wouldn't it be better to get your win in now as opposed to waiting until it's safe? You know what I'm – you see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. But my viewpoint on it is that if you – let's say somebody that has won is leading and you're in second. I don't think you should dump them to win. I think you should think about what's going to happen to you if you do. I know NASCAR said they ain't going to step in and do anything, but, you know, Joe Gibbs Racing drivers have had a good past of wrecking other drivers in the playoffs, not saying any names. But so I would definitely watch that. I mean, I would not go out and purposely wreck someone now. This is not the time for it. We've still got almost half the season left. We're going to have at least 8 or 9 races left before the playoffs. And so I don't think you need to be concerned. And as I said, I don't think you need to go for any wins that you feel like you cannot get or you cannot have lost within 5 laps. Last weekend we saw 2 drivers. I mean, Austin Dillon did a fuel gamble. He didn't have a win. But I think he noticed that that was going to be about his only shot at winning. I'm not saying Austin Dillon and his team's not had speed this year. They have. But when you're not one of the faster cars, those other cars are going to take advantage of you. And I think Austin Dillon noticed last week. And I don't think it's time for Joe Gibbs Racing to start making fuel gambles because it's not worth it. Joe Gibbs Racing has the speed to go out there and win every weekend. Austin Dillon, I'm not saying he doesn't have the speed to go out there to weekend, but he's not one of those names that we say, well, he's going to win this week. I don't think anybody had Austin Dillon winning the 600 last week. I certainly didn't. In fact, my whole greatest day of racing was messed up last week. Didn't have a good week. But like I said, I think the gambles are going to have to come from the right team. I think the gambles are going to have to come from Richard Petty Motorsports when Eric Almirola comes back, because Almirola is going to be behind. I think with the most recent rumors I've been hearing, I think Almirola is going to have to start proving his worth. I'm not saying he's leaving Richard Petty Motorsports. I'm not saying anything about Richard Petty Motorsports, but I think Eric Almirola needs to start performing with Richard Petty, or I think Petty may end up having to find a new driver. I don't know where he would go, but I've heard a lot this week of a Danica Patrick retirement. I mean, I've heard that so much this week, and it's been this week alone. It's not been all month. It's been this week. So something tells me something's about to fall out. I don't really know what's going to happen. All I got to say is buckle your seatbelts and just get ready to watch the show that's fixing to unfold.
Yeah, there are. I hear you on that one. There's a couple of things I want to changes that we can touch on here perhaps today if we get all the time we have. Out of curiosity, Christian, and I'm guessing I know the answer to this already. Under the new playoff format, if in fact there are more than 16 winners, the first tiebreaker, I would imagine, is points. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
As far as I know, unless NASCAR changed another rule this week, and it's possible.
We know that one.
Has anybody had the chance to read the USA Today article that came out yesterday about USA Today talking to fans about why they're not attending races anymore?
Boy, how did I miss that one? USA Today is all I really ever read. I don't know how I missed that one.
Thank you. Thanks for reading on pit road. No, it was a good article. I see some things that I don't necessarily agree with, but I'm one of the type of people that I am prone to change. I'm part of the younger generation of NASCAR fans. I mean, I'm not in the upper 60s. I'm nowhere near that. In fact, I'm almost maybe 10 days, 11 days away from turning 20 years old. And I mean, I want the change because I notice there's stuff that's not appealing to my generation of fans. And I'm not saying my generation because I am a very different person than the rest of my generation. But I think it's time that we stop asking the old people, the older fans, why they think the sport's diminishing.
Right.
Because what worked 20 years ago isn't going to work today. I hate to say it. Today's generation, they like the playoffs. I like the playoffs. I'm one of the very few people that like the playoffs. I'm the type of person in the most recent years that NASCAR has actually agreed with some of the things NASCAR has came out with that people did not like. I was one of the very big supporters of the Car of Tomorrow. I really liked it. I didn't really like the wing. I understood the wing, but the wing did exactly what it did, and it made cars fly. I mean, it's a wing. What is it supposed to do? But I read that article yesterday, and I just kind of had to sit back and go, well, I wonder what a younger fan would have to say about this, or what a younger fan would what his opinion of why he's not attending races, or why a younger she or he is not attending races anymore. And I agreed with some aspects of the article. The going to races is insane. Me and a riding friend of mine last week was talking about how much affordable it is to attend a race as a media than it is as a fan. I mean, we don't have to pay for tickets.
Right.
The only thing we really have to pay for is the gasoline to get to the track and the hotel stay. And any food, in most cases, we get food. So, I mean, I'm not saying that, but there's something wrong with that. I think we need to start giving fans, I'm not saying assistance, and that's one thing that is denoted in the article I read yesterday, is the fact that ticket prices are not holding people back from attending races anymore. They're not. Ticket prices are very low. I know my best friend bought my mom a ticket for Talladega for, I think he paid $60, and it was a pretty good seat is what they said. So, I mean, it's not badly priced. I'm not saying start giving away tickets. That won't work because you'll lose money very quick. But I'm saying I think NASCAR tracks need to start working with hotels. They need to start working with different places. And I think we need to start making the cost to go to a race a lot more affordable. I mean, I don't really. It's an interesting a tidbit that I learned when I was in Talladega. Talladega is the only track that offers free camping.
Wow.
I think that's something that some of the tracks need to invest in is some free camping. Because if I can go out and camp at a track for free compared to going and spend $70 to $80 a night in a hotel, if I'm a diehard NASCAR fan, I'm going to go out and pay the $60 for a ticket and get free camping. I mean, you can pull your RV out to Talladega, and I think that's something that the tracks definitely need to invest in. That is definitely a point that I'm going to bring out this week when I start doing my weekly article ideas that I'm going to have. I'm also going to announce a pretty big news this week, and I'm looking forward to announcing it. I'm jumping to another side of NASCAR, and I'm really looking forward to doing it. It's going to be a great rest of the year for me. I'm looking forward to working with some drivers this year to help them out. So it's going to be a good year, and I think change is coming. And I think it's going to be change that NASCAR fans can get behind. There are rule changes next year that are being proposed. There's schedule changes being proposed for the 2019 schedule already. So I think basically all I can tell you is sit back, crack open a cold one with the boys, and get ready for some good old-fashioned NASCAR racing.
Well, I like your optimism. Anybody, Sidekick or Brandon, any thoughts on everything that Christian just brought to us there? Interesting perspective.
I think we're going to see lots of changes too. A lot of the stuff he talked about, you know, with Danica probably retiring, she's kind of hinted at that for a while now. I think you're going to see a lot of changes. You may see driver changes, but you know, what you started talking about there with the whole Joe Gibbs and should they be concerned? They absolutely should be concerned, because look at what has happened to that organization in a year. They went from top of the mountain to we have no wins now. We lost Carl Edwards for whatever reason. However, that played out. Nobody really knows the whole truth.
He's going to come back next year and he's going to race again.
I believe that.
Not going to be Carl. It's not going to be GGR.
It's a joke.
No.
Carl is not coming back.
Wow.
Carl told Richard Petty he is retired. I mean, when Richard Petty offers you a ride, I think, you know, that retirement word, if you say retirement to Richard Petty, I think you mean it. I'm just saying. I mean, if I was given the opportunity to drive for Richard Petty, I'd take it.
Wow.
I mean, so it tells me that Carl is retired. And I think me and my rider friend, we went to Bowman Gray last weekend, and we found that Carl Edwards, we listened to the Carl Edwards interview at the end of the season last year. And we almost think he denoted that he was going to retire during that interview. Because during that interview, Carl Edwards brought up that this team is going to be on fire next year. Notice, he said this team. Not my team, not our team, not the team I'm driving for. He said this team. Doesn't that raise some suspicion?
I have no doubt he had thoughts of it. I still think there's more to that story. I don't think we've heard everything. I still don't think we've heard everything with this story, though. There's more to this.
I don't think you're going to hear everything.
Eventually.
Carl Edwards is going to get run for president, and Donald Trump's proved that everybody can become president. It's going to be Carl Edwards, Mike Helton. I'm saying 2020.
God. What about The Rock? The Rock's all too.
You know, I don't really like The Rock anyway, so that's not a thing I can get behind. Carl Edwards, you know, I just think it'd be cool. We have a president called Cousin Carl. That just fits. I mean,
oh man, alive.
So I'm looking forward. I'm really looking forward to what comes for Carl Edwards. I'm very happy for Carl. A couple of the media did get to talk about Carl last weekend. We went into Carl, but we got to speak with somebody who's pretty good friends with him, and he's basically said that Carl's happy. he's living in Missouri. He's happy with life. And I think that's something that maybe the Homestead wreck opens his eyes, that maybe he needs to enjoy life more than being in a car. I mean, you got to admit, he just watched last year his closest chance to winning a championship that he's had since 2011 get blocked by Joey Logano.
Yep.
I mean, without a doubt. And you know that, you know, I don't think you can walk away from that. It's kind of like a breakup. And that I'm through that right now. But I don't think that's something you can just out of the blue walk away from, without a doubt. So I think you notice that, you know, your health is more important. You notice that you've done really everything in the sport. Carl has done really everything in the sport there is to do. He's gotten a lot of wins. He has an Xfinity championship. I think he may have two. I don't remember if he has two or one. He's won with about every team that he's ever been with. And that's what I think makes Carl Edwards a contender to be a Hall of Famer within the next 5-10 years, because, you know, Jeff Gordon's going to beat him in there. Don't understand that.
What? But, Jeff Gordon's got like 3 or 4 cup championships. How do you not understand that?
It was a joke.
Oh, okay.
All these fans don't like Jeff Gordon for some random reason. My mom was the biggest Rusty Wallace fan before I was born. The first race I ever went to, well, my mom went to when I was 9 months pregnant, and that was a race that Jeff Gordon bumped and run Rusty. So my family's always had a thing of not liking Jeff Gordon. I've actually gotten the opportunity to shake hands with Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon shook hands with me. He's a very down-to-earth guy, and I never really had a problem with him. But I mean, Carl's happy. That's what they said last week, was that Carl's happy. Carl's still doing things in the sport. I mean, he is. He's doing Subway commercials. And I think, like I said, he's a good ambassador for the sport, and he's not even driving for the sport. You see Carl Edwards, you think NASCAR. I mean, he's not ever going to get away from that. Like I said, Edwards isn't coming back. If he does, he said in the interview that if he comes back, he will drive for Joe Gibbs. I, without a doubt, don't think he's lying.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever going to see that either. Well, the other thing I think Joe Gibbs needs to pay attention to, though, is what's going on in the garage area. You know, you see Casey Kane losing a major sponsor, you know, because he's not been performing. If the rest of his teams don't start waking up, they might have to start worrying about sponsorship. When you got 4 full-time cars, you need to make sure you got all your sponsors intact. And, you know, I don't think Kyle Busch is in any danger, but, you know, Matt Kenseth and Hamlin, you know, they need to start doing something.
I have started hearing this rumor this week that is concerning Matt Kenseth and Eric Jones, is that Eric Jones and Matt Kenseth are going to switch places after this season.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Well, that makes sense. Well, Eric Jones is under contract with JGR. He's just on loan to Furniture Row. Same deal you had brought up earlier about tampering with Ryan Blaney, Mike. Real quick, Ryan Blaney is under contract with Roger Penske. He's on loan to the Wood Brothers. So it's not tampering. It's his guy.
And that Wood Brothers racing Ford that he races every week is prepared by Team Penske.
Right, sure.
It's a third Team Penske car.
Right,
I mean, without a doubt. You go to the Team Penske shop in North Carolina, and I saw it last week, you'll see multiple 21 cars. So they're prepared by Roger Penske's, by Team Penske's team. So basically, him moving to Team Penske to be a third car, I think the Wood Brothers, and this is just a rumor I've been hearing recently, I've heard the Wood Brothers are going to snatch up somebody out of the Xfinity Series. I'm really looking forward to seeing him come up to the Cup Series. I don't know what is going to happen with his agreement with Roush, because that's who he's driving with right now. But he's the guy that just lost $100,000 yesterday and stated in the post-race interviews that $1 million could have funded us till Michigan. And suddenly Darrell Wallace finds himself unknown of what's going to happen. So I'm kind of hoping something happens with Darrell Wallace. I could see Darrell Wallace going to the Wood Brothers. I think he's about the top candidate. I mean, Ryan Reed, yes, he has two career victories, but Ryan Reed, you know, and Ryan Reed has the diabetes sponsorship, but I think Ryan Reed will end up in the third Roush Fenway car within the next 2-3 years because Roush Fenway already denoted that they will bring back the 16 car. We just don't know when. So the landscape of NASCAR is going to bounce, and it's going to change a lot within the next 5 years.
I think you're going to see a lot of change this year, to be honest with you.
Casey Kane is going to be gone from Hendrick Motorsports after this year.
Kane just lost his sponsorship. He just lost Great Clips.
Yep,
Great Clips is possibly going to Clint Bowyer is what I've been hearing. That's been the small little rumor. It's been going around the garage, and it's not official. I'll admit that. I mean, Nature's Bakery is going to sponsor Clint Bowyer 2 races. You know, I feel proud of that. I don't know why they didn't just sponsor him for 4 races, but, hey. You know, got to give Danica something. I mean, Danica is the most important thing on the earth right now, so why is she getting all 4 sponsorships?
Danica's going to go make babies with Ricky.
Oh,
well,
man.
Already made one. Let's just say Thursday night during qualifying, she is complaining with food poisoning, throwing up. You know, I'm only 20 years old, but I kind of understand the whole concept.
Yeah.
And Ricky Stenhouse Jr. did win a race.
Well, you know, that could very well mean that she might retire before the season is over.
If she's pregnant, yeah. I don't think you'd want to be in a car pregnant, just saying.
I'd like to see that. We could market that.
How we're going to market that? Oh, man alive.
Wait. Okay, is Sidekick's either really busy or he's just losing it because we're talking about Danica and Danica being pregnant and he has no comment?
sponsorship out of that.
Yeah, sorry. It's a little hard to hear you. It's a little loud here.
What would you do if you had no Danica to pick on anymore?
She
retires and starts having babies?
Well, you know. When you look at the you know, the estrogen level in NASCAR, you know,
uh-oh.
You got Danica Patrick, then you got Kyle Busch. You know, I don't know what's going on with that dude's vagina, but he needs to get his wet in order.
Oh Lord.
Uh-oh.
You know, you weren't on last week, Sidekick. I wanted to get your take on Danica's post-race interview after Eric Almirola was being cut out of the out of his car.
Oh yeah, I saw. Yeah, I kind of saw that interview. You know, it was funny because I was mentioning to my fiance about that. You know, Joey Logano comes out. You know, we talk trash about Joey Logano all the time. Well, you do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but he came out. You know, he came out and you know he said his piece.
Yep.
And then he said prayers for you know Eric Almirola and stuff like that. You know, and Joey, it's hard to read sometimes. You know, didn't really seem the most sincere, but then you know, I've never really seen Joey sincere, you know what I mean? But then Danica comes out, she's like, what this and that, my car, you know. Like, look here, you stupid bitch. This guy's got cracked vertebrae, they're jaws of life in his car apart, and all you got to say is, my car ruined my day. You know what, go make me a damn sandwich, bitch.
Oh, boy.
Sandwich card.
Oh, man. Yeah,
come on now.
Oh.
Well, sidekick, Frat House Mike actually did give Joey Logano credit last week.
I did.
That his interview, you know, he came off really good, and then obviously we all were trashing Danica for her stupid, self-centered, you know, everything happens to me routine. The part I didn't like the most about what she said was, well, Eric's car looks the best of the bunch. I'm not sure why, you know, they have to cut him out or something. She said something to that effect. Our cars are wrecked more. So what? It doesn't matter what the car looks like.
Right. And, you know, and the messed up thing about it was, you know, like, and this is where I think Joey was probably sincere about it, because when you listen to him watch the playback of the accident, and go, he realized how bad that was.
Yeah.
And whereas, you know, Danica didn't, you know, I don't know, you know, she didn't have anything to say about when they did the playback.
Yep.
You know, it's
yep.
like, come on, you.
Well,
yeah,
she
didn't do herself any favors.
If I might, let me say this. Yes, I was somewhat praiseworthy, I suppose you might say, of Joey Logano and the way he handled himself following that wreck there at Talladega. Which means, look, here's the bottom line, and I want this clear. When I see something right, I will praise it. When I see something wrong, I'm gonna call it out. And I started out this show by saying, you know what? I'm sitting here right now. It's you know, we're here at Dover. Kyle Busch is on the pole. I got Kyle on my fantasy team. I'm sitting here with my Kyle Busch shirt on, all right, because it's race day. But I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm calling Kyle out for his antics last week following that race. Now, I know that there have been a lot of articles that I have read over the course of the past couple of days going, hey, let Kyle be Kyle. That's the way he is. No, you know what? I don't forgive it. I think the way he behaved was completely, completely outrageous. Real quick, 12 seconds. Here is Kyle Busch from last week. We know he came in second place. You heard the audio of right at the end of the race where Kyle had a chance to get it. For gosh sakes, how many laps did he lead? 63 laps he led. So, you know, hey, but did not get the win. This was Kyle Busch and his response.
They won a series, though.
Let me play this real quick. This was Kyle Busch's response to the fact he did not win.
Were you surprised that Austin could stretch it on fuel? And then, I mean, what mean do you think for Austin to get his first win?
I'm not surprised about anything. Congratulations.
There you go. And we drop the mic and walk away.
Oh, we had fun with that in the press box.
Say that again.
We had fun with that in the press box.
Oh, I can imagine.
They literally asked us if we had any questions for Kyle, and I think everybody in the press box at the same time says, no, we don't.
Oh.
Really? If I would have thought of it to begin with, I would have asked the question and just brought up on pit road, because, I mean, look at the amount of times Bob Pockers has been brought up on, you know, all these places.
Exactly.
I mean, just saying, probably should have.
Exactly. Now, I got to tell you, I think Dale Jr. was asked about the situation after the fact. Dale Jr.'s response to Kyle Busch, I just sat and I laughed out loud. This was I've got audio of that as well. This was Dale Jr.'s response to Kyle Busch and his mic drop. This was Dale's response.
Oh, somebody said something about Kyle's press conference. So I'm trying to.
Awesome.
What'd he do? What'd he say?
It's like 9 seconds long.
He put the microphone down. You just know he said grab the microphone. picks his nose, grabs the mic back.
Not surprised about anything. Congratulations.
Damn. I just watched that. Holy moly.
Then he gets up and walks off.
My gosh. He needs a
Snickers.
Snickers. Watch yourself. My God. That's Kyle, man. He's awesome. That's why we like him. Mic drop. All right. Well, I'd love to sit on.
I thought Dale's response was positively priceless. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that was good. I like that. Damn. That was good. I like the Snickers line too, because isn't Snickers on that car once in a while?
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
It's a Mars sponsorship.
Yep. Yeah. Right. So that's funny.
But you know, as I put it out in true fairness and equal play, look, there is no excuse to say, well, okay, wait, that's Kyle. That's just Kyle being Kyle. No. You know, Kyle gets the poll. Kyle wins the poll on Friday night at Dover. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I see all the pictures in the articles about Kyle winning the poll. And there he is all smiles. And I'm like, you know something? You freaking phony. You're all smiles when everything's going great for you. You know, when it's one of these.
Everything's great.
Yeah, when everything's great, you're all good. But, boy, oh, boy, you know, I haven't won this year, so let me act like a crybaby. I mean, seriously, that is exactly the way that it comes off. And I think that in many respects, it was a disservice to Austin Dillon because, look, let's get it straight. It's Kyle Busch, and that took the attention away from Austin Dillon. And I think it was wrong. I just think it was flat out wrong.
You know, the year Kyle got hurt and he came back and
exactly.
He set the world on fire, I actually started to root for him because I liked his attitude change. And, you know, he was a sympathetic, you know, figure and he said all the right things. Now he's back to doing what he was doing before, even worse. I hate him even more than I did before now. Because
great
he's,
point.
He regressed back to where he was,
yep.
And then went further because he's just out of control right now. You know,
great
it's every
point.
Week there's something with this clown.
Great point, Brandon. I meant to bring that up earlier. It seems to me that for all of the goodwill,
yep.
He was able to amass for himself during that year that he won the championship, he has just completely thrown it all away this year. In half a season. And it all started with him and the Joey Logano situation at the beginning of the year. Now, look, I'm not saying that you know, he didn't have a, you know, look, that was Kyle. I understood. I wasn't all that negative about it. But if you go back to that incident and you follow through on so much, that was the beginning of the, as you point out, the kind of trend going back to the way he was before. And I just think it doesn't make any damn sense to me.
Well, if I'm a sponsor, I'm not happy because, you know, M&M's had to be very pleased with his comeback from being hurt and all the positive attention. Now what's he getting? Negative attention. That's not necessarily good for every sponsor. You know, I don't know that M&M's is one that's going to jump up and down with a, you know, petulant little crybaby as their main driver. You know, there was talk before about, you know, M&M's moving off the car. And, you know, I think it was when Carl Edwards came to JGR. There was a lot of talk that, you know, Kyle was going to get a monster sponsorship and M&M's was going with Carl Edwards and
right.
All this other stuff. And it never really happened. And as you can see, Monster went with Kurt Busch. But still, I mean, you know, M&M's has shown before they don't like his antics. If I was him, if I was Joe Gibbs, I'd sit him down and say, look, we ain't winning. We don't want to lose sponsorships. We don't want to be you know, like Hendrick is with the five car now, losing great clips. We don't want to be the next big team losing a big sponsor. You know, he gotta watch the way he acts sometimes. There is going to be ramifications past himself if he doesn't stop it. So that's just my opinion.
Christian, you're somebody in the media. You're somebody in the media. Brandon just said, you know, he's got to be careful because of this negative attention. Is it negative attention?
No, it's not negative attention. I mean, I guess in NASCAR, being in the news is better than not. I mean, your sponsor gets brought up every time that you get talked about, so... In a way, I understand where everybody's coming from on he needs to watch his attitude, but how long have we been saying that? I mean, it's not like overnight Kyle's became the big butt. He's been like that for a good while. And I'll understand. I agree with what they said about with the fact that Kyle Busch, you know, when he came back from his injury. That year, I went to Bristol, and it seemed like for the first time, he got cheered at Bristol.
Yep.
And for those of you that's been to Bristol, Kyle Busch doesn't get cheered.
Right.
And I don't really understand why. And I mean, I'm a good friend to Kyle. Kyle's a good guy. And I agree with what Dale Jr. said. I heard him say it this week. Kyle's Kyle. We don't want him to change because that he's Kyle. And if he didn't show emotion like everybody, then, you know, what would make him any different from everybody else? I mean, we need different people. We don't need all Danica Patrick. It's all about me. It's all about number one, my, oh, my. You know, we need characters in the sport. I mean, Dale Earnhardt was the intimidator. Richard Petty was a king. We need things like that. So Kyle Busch being rowdy. Kurt Busch has calmed down over the years.
Well,
Kurt Busch had to because he was at the lowest of the lows.
Yeah. He was one step out the door if he didn't get his, you know, self in line.
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of going back and forth on it at this point because, you know, one of the things we have read and have heard as a complaint towards NASCAR has been they're trying to homogenize all of their drivers. We don't have the characters in auto racing that we used to. And so in some respects, I kind of hear what Christian saying, and that does kind of go along with what one of the complaints has been with regard to NASCAR as we know it right now. So I don't know. It's a tough one. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. As a supporter of Kyle Busch, and I have been now for many, many years, when I saw his behavior last week, I was turned off. And I was a bit perturbed and annoyed by it. I thought it was unsportsmanlike. I really do. And I don't know if I can necessarily change that opinion. I don't think I can change that opinion. But I don't know.
We'll see how it goes. You know, obviously, you know, if he wins a race, it'll be all, you know, all happy and.
Oh yeah.
That'll be the end of it. So we'll see. We'll see how he
now, I'll agree with what my mom said yesterday because they were talking about it at her work because they're big NASCAR fans of her work too, about how Kyle Busch always seems to be the type of person to go up and talk to the media if he wins. You got to remember that Kyle Busch is the same guy that'll turn around and say, this is the worst piece of crap that I've ever raced, and we need to go back to the old way when he's standing in a victory lane at Bristol Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
I don't know how much better you could get than land a victory lane. If that's just me.
That's a good point. And, you know, when you think about it, we heard that same sort of thing, and we didn't we didn't bat an eye about it. We heard the same sort of type of messages from Tony Stewart, didn't we?
Yep. Oh, this Goodyear tire is the biggest piece of crap I've ever raced on.
Yep.
But we still haven't changed Goodyear, so, you know. Where are we going to go to? Hoosier?
Interesting point.
We could go to General Tire. That's what ARCO uses.
Interesting point.
General Tire is a good group of people. With the exception on Twitter, they always like my stuff, but they never retweet it. Come on, folks.
Nah.
Hit the retweet button.
All right, well, just to run through it real quick, last week at Charlotte, Austin Dillon got the win. Kyle Busch came in second. Martin Truex came in third. Matt Kenseth came in fourth. Look at all the Toyotas up front there. Denny Hamlin came in fifth. Kurt Busch, sixth. Eric Jones, seventh. Kevin Harvick, eighth. Ryan Newman came in ninth. And Dale Jr. came in tenth. Real quick, looking at our, because we haven't done this year, and since we're at the midpoint of the season, you know, we might as well take a look at it right now. Rookie of the Year standings. I would have thought it might have been Eric Jones, but no, it is Daniel Suarez right now leading the five driver Rookie of the Year standings. Daniel Suarez, 131 points. Eric Jones, 121. Ty Dillon, 116. Corey LeJoy, 98. And Greg Audling, 86. So, interesting. I really thought it might have been Eric Jones. Eric Jones had one hell of a race last week, didn't he, guys?
I seriously thought he was going to win last week. And I felt bad because I didn't pick him. So maybe that's why he was doing well. I mean, I pick him. It's like he blows a tire or something. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I kind of given up on him on a Rookie of the Year chase, you know, everything. You know, it seems like whenever I pick him, he does something. It's like, okay. So I'm kind of hoping today's pick doesn't do the same thing. I was very impressed with Eric Jones' performance last week, even though they said that his birthday was just last week or this week. Turned 21 years old, so that's kind of scary that Eric Jones is only a year older than I am. But I was really happy for Eric Jones. I was happy to see Furniture Row as an organization do it well. I mean, not just Eric Jones, but it was good to see two brand new cars, brand new teams running up front. I mean, you don't see that out of a second year team that just started a new another car. You don't see that. And so I thought that was very impressive. Eric Jones being up front, you know, the amount of times I've picked him this year, you got to guarantee that it doesn't surprise me. Because Eric has done one hell of a job this year, his first season. I had a tough time today picking who I wanted to win today because Eric was brought up in the conversation this week. But because Eric has won there in the Xfinity Series. But all in all, I think Eric did a very good job last week. I think he's done a good job all season long. Daniel Suarez has done a great job this year. Ty Dillon, how about Ty Dillon up there in the underfunded Hermain Racing team? I mean, he's 100, how many points? 116?
What did I just say? I think it's 116, yeah. Yes, yeah. 116.
That's impressive for an underfunded team.
Mm-hmm.
Because that team's one of the lower funded teams that outperforms every week.
You know, talking about Daniel Suarez, too, you can definitely see a difference in his performances recently. Now, you know, one could say, okay, well, then maybe that's Toyota getting their act together because we've made reference to it now. It does seem that perhaps maybe the JGR team is starting to get their act together. But I think with Daniel Suarez, I think it's more just a comfort thing.
Once we start visiting tracks for a second time, I think we'll start seeing Suarez compete for victories.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, without a doubt. I mean, I noticed this in his Xfinity Series career. He'd visit a track again, and it's like he would 10 times improve on how he did the first time. And so that's something that I'm definitely going to look at Daniel Suarez beginning at Daytona when we start visiting tracks for a second time. I'm not saying Daytona will be his first win, but, you know, I'm kind of hoping today will be his first win.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, Suarez has impressed me. I think the biggest thing I don't like about the other media members and the television, Suarez hasn't been getting the exposure he deserves this year. I mean, I don't know how many of y'all agree with me, but it's like the media always seem to turn around and somehow say, well, Suarez is underperforming. Well, what in the world do we expect? Suarez to win every single race? I don't even expect Suarez to be in the top 10 every week because he's a brand new driver.
Exactly.
It's the same thing with Eric Jones. They're brand new drivers. They've never raced a cup car before. So, what are we expecting? A victory every week? And
I think
the expectation.
Do you think that the expectation was too high on him?
You know, I think the biggest problem with Suarez getting thrown into the 19 so quickly is not many people had enough time to really preview and guess what Suarez was going to do. I mean, it was kind of a last-minute basis that Suarez was going to be racing the 19. Suarez didn't know he was going to be racing the 19 until January.
Right.
I mean, so you've got 1 month to prepare. And then let's look at all the media who had already wrote all their preview articles. A lot of us had already wrote our season previews. And so they turn around and announce that, well, Carl Edwards isn't racing. Okay, well, we already previewed Edwards' season. I guess we're going to turn around and put Suarez. And I think not many people knew what to expect from Suarez. I didn't know what to expect from Suarez. You looked at Suarez's rookie season in the Xfinity Series, and he didn't do as well as a lot of people thought he would do. But then you look at his sophomore season, it's like, boom, who's this kid? And it's like, so then suddenly they start putting his name in the hat for the championship, and it's like, wow, this guy really blossomed really quick. And I think Kyle Busch really helped him out on that one. Because if you notice, Kyle Busch was one of the big supporters of Daniel Suarez. If Suarez had questions his rookie season or his sophomore season, Kyle Busch would get in Suarez's car and tell him what was wrong with it. So I think the help from Kyle Busch has really helped Suarez become what he is today. I know for some reason Daniel Suarez was not very popular in Talladega. Don't really know why. I guess they got something wrong with Mexicans over there. I'm impressed with Suarez. Suarez has definitely outdone what I thought he was going to do. Eric Jones the big thing I look at Eric Jones is Eric Jones is in a brand new car. Like, that car has not ran before. That's the big thing Suarez has is that he's with a team that's done this before.
Yeah.
Eric Jones, brand new car, brand new team, brand new cup crew chief who just moved up, and it's like, he's outperforming.
Yeah, and again, if we take a look at the qualifying order for today here at Dover, Daniel Suarez starting out at number 3, Eric Jones at number 7. I had Eric Jones on my team last week. I can tell you I got Eric Jones on my team this week as well. So.
Well, you should feel good because I don't.
Well.
So don't be concerned.
I'm not saying he's gonna win, but I think he's good, so
he's got a better shot today.
Yeah, I hear you. I think he's good. I certainly think he's good for some fantasy points. That's for sure. All right, guys, we're here at Dover today. So, like I said, interesting lineup. Five out of the top 7. Are all Toyotas. We come here to Dover twice a year, so we see Dover a lot. What are our thoughts on today?
I think you're going to see a normal. Go ahead.
I think we're going to see what we saw in the Camp World Truck Series race. A wreck fest with a confusing end. I think you're going to see a lot of wrecks today. A lot of inexperience in the field. I'm not saying Eric Jones and Dan Swartz are inexperienced, but you've got a lot of people making their debuts today. I mean, Ryan Sieg's making his debut. So a lot of drivers are making their debut today. So, I mean, I could see a lot of crashes in the back. I almost see a wreck like we saw last May when Jimmy Johnson did not get going and caused the big giant one on the front stretch. So I think it'll be exciting. I think today's race will definitely be one you want to tune in. If you have Fox Sports 1, because for some random reason NASCAR decided to put this race on Fox Sports 1 this weekend. So if you don't have it, tune in on Pit Road after race, and we'll get you a race recap.
Absolutely. Interesting point. I hadn't looked at the qualifying list hard enough there. Christian, you're right. I mean, we do have a lot of new faces this week, don't we? Ryan Segg, Ross Chastain, Cody Ware. Why all of a sudden do we have so many brand new drivers?
Dover's a shorter track, so drivers are seeking their clearance to race more races. I don't understand the whole Ryan Segg to BK Racing, because Corey LaJoie was on the entry list on Tuesday. He was on the initial entry list, and then I changed it like 5 minutes after initial to Ryan Segg. I don't understand why, but I like Ryan Segg. Ryan Sieg's one of the underdogs in the Xfinity Series, so he ought to do pretty good. Cody Ware has raced in the Cup Series this season. He raced in Atlanta to a pretty good finish this weekend. I think Cody will do pretty good. He's got the Eastern Carolina Pirates on board. He's going to have a pretty gold and purple car with some emojis on it. If you know Cody Ware, you're going to get my reference on the emojis. Cody's a good friend of mine, so and Ross Chastain's going for 800 miles this week. He raced in the truck race on Friday night, had a very good performance in the Bowling Motorsports number 66. And then yesterday he had pretty good performance in the Xfinity race, and then I'm hoping today with Premium Motorsports he has the same showing. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of these rookies come up. I don't really understand why. I mean, this weekend, yes, it is Dover. It's just like with ARCA Racing Series. You're going to see drivers attempt at ARCA or when in the ARCA Series, if a driver is going to race in the Daytona Truck Race, in most cases they have to race the Xfinity or the ARCA race Daytona to gain clearance to race at Daytona. It's just so they know that they're safe drivers and that the fact that they ain't going to try to kill anybody. For some reason, that's not always worked. But I think the showing will be a good show tomorrow. Yeah, that's what's trained there. So I think it'll be a good show tonight or this afternoon or whenever the race is. I don't remember. I think it'll be a good race. I think you're gonna have a lot of competitive racing. That's one thing I'll give Charlotte last week credit. And they will not have VHT on the surface this week. They had been discussing that all weekend, is the fact that if they would add VHT to the surface this weekend or not. And they did not. They are discussing it at a couple other tracks this weekend. Like, I've heard Michigan is on the possibility of adding VHT, which I think would be a pretty good additive. It's worked everywhere else I've seen. So I think I would have liked to have seen the VHT today at Dover. It works very well at Bristol. So I think that's one thing we're going to have to definitely come back with when we come back here in October.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at the qualifying list, and as you point out, you know, Ryan Segg, Ross Chastain, Cody Ware. We have a field of 39 here, all right? And I'm sitting here trying to figure out, now you just pointed out, Segg is in for LaJoie. But who are the other two taking the place of? We've got to be missing
Cody
two
Ware.
Drivers that...
Cody Ware is taking the spot for Timmy Hill. Timmy Hill's racing for Carl Long's team this weekend.
Right.
Cody Ware was already signed up to drive the 51 this weekend. It'll be have multiple drivers this weekend. And as many people know, Cody Ware is the son of Rick Ware, who owns Rick Ware Racing, who fills the 51 car. And then one car we're missing this weekend, we are missing the 55. As far as I know, we are missing the 55. It did not enter this weekend. It is one of Premium Motorsports car. And the big reason, and I just remembered why, the Premium Motorsports 55 entry will not be in the field this weekend because of the fact that the NASCAR Camper World Truck Series raced on Friday. And whenever the NASCAR Camp Arrow Truck Series races with the NASCAR Camp Monster Energy Cup Series, Premium Motorsports will only have one entry because, in fact, they only have one hauler. So they have to carry the truck and the car in one hauler. So that's why you do not see the 55 on the entry list this week. And that's why we do not have 40 cars.
Interesting.
The 66 car is back in at Timmy Hill's home track. Carl Long is building the entry for Timmy Hill. Yesterday, Carl Long fielded the number 40 for a local Tennessee native, Knoxville, Tennessee native Chad Pinchum, who finished 34th in his debut yesterday. And so we're looking forward to a good run. We're looking forward to seeing how everybody runs today. I'm looking forward to seeing if the underfunded teams can capitalize on a nice concrete short track this week.
Brandon, any thoughts on Dover? Do we see a Toyota that's not Martin Truex win today, in light of the fact we have so many Toyotas in there?
Well, since we're getting close to that, I don't think it's eat my dust pick. I'm going to go with Matt Kenseth. I think Matt Kenseth has a good race today for JGR. I think this is his first track that he ever raced at the Cup level. I think Matt Kenseth will put on a good show today.
Kenseth has got 3 wins here previously at Dover. Of course, that's nothing compared to Jimmy Johnson's 10 wins. Holy smoke.
Well, Jimmy Johnson's in his own this track.
Well, yeah, of course. But that by far, 10 as far as active drivers, it's Jimmy Johnson with 10, and then Matt Kenseth with 3. Ryan Newman has 3 as well, 3 wins here.
I was at Dover race where Matt Kenseth made his debut in Cup. He was a fill-in driver for Bill Elliott, driving a number 94 McDonald's car. And he actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, he finished the race like 6th, I believe, which is really, impressive considering it was his first ever Cup race. So he's familiar with Dover, let's put it that way. And I think he'll do well today. That's why, he needs a win. I think of all the, the JGRs, I think the 20 car has been the most invisible. He needs to have something go his way a little bit. I mean, obviously, we've seen Kyle Busch up front, and we've seen him run okay. I think the 20 car has had the worst season of the bunch, to be honest with you. That's just my opinion. I could, stats might prove a little different, but he just doesn't seem like he's on TV very much.
I'm just checking the standings. Denny Hamlin is ahead of him in points.
Suarez gets the attention because he's a rookie, so
right,
a little
right.
attention. So, he may not be, Kenseth may be ahead of Suarez, but, to me, he seems to be the most invisible of the JGR cars this year.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm hoping it's not as Christian just predicted. I'm hoping it is not a wreck fest. That's my hope. I don't know. Although I'm trying to think. I mean, is Dover noted for that? Not really, are they?
It's a monster mile. The monster loves to take and swallow cars. That's one of the big things it's popular for.
It just strikes. I don't know. When I think of Dover, I don't think I.
I mean, Joe Logano barrel rolled down here.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a look at where things stand at this point, because I do have Sidekick did give me, and I can run him down, his fantasy team before he disappeared. But let's go through some standings here real quick before we run out of time. In our fantasy league right now, yay! I got the win last week. Texas Ham. It's up at the top in our league. That's number 1. I'm coming in at number 2 now with my second win. Thunder Down Under, number 3. Too Hot to Handle is number 4. And The Little Beast is number 5 in our standings. Sidekicks, And by the way, I unfortunately, Sidekick is not with us right now. But I did wanted to, I really wanted to rub it in. Sidekick's been trying to get his first win in fantasy all season long in one team or the other. He's yet to do it. He's leading everyone right now in points in our fantasy league, but he doesn't have that win. Who blocked him from getting the win last week? Oh, yeah, that was me. Sidekick came in second. Today, though, Sidekick is going with Jimmy Johnson, Martin Truex Jr., Ricky Stenhouse, Ryan Blaney, and his favorite bottom dweller, Cole Whit. That is who Sidekick is going with. Now, in our Eat My Dust, winner picks for the year, the standings got mixed up a little bit following last week. Sidekicks is up at the top, and they're very, very close, very tight right now. What do you hear these numbers? Sidekick sits up at the top in our standings with 412 points. NASCAR John has 411, 1 point separating number one from number two. I'm now up to third with 386. Brandon, you're at 354. Loyal listener Liz is at 353, so 1 point separates four and five. And then, Christian, you're coming in at 252.
Everything's great.
Yeah, there you go. Now, Sidekick today is going with Jimmy Johnson. NASCAR John is going with Matt Kenseth. For the third week in a row, I am going with Kyle Busch. Yes, I really, really berated him on the air for his behavior this week, so I certainly hope he cleans that up this week, but that doesn't take away from the fact that I figure if I just keep picking him every week, he's bound to get, he'll get a win one of these times. So I'm going with Kyle Busch. So far, Jimmy Johnson, Matt Kenseth, Kyle Busch. Brandon, you said you're going with?
Matt Kenseth.
Loyal listener yep. Liz is going with Matt Kenseth. Matt Kenseth is certainly the popular one today. And Christian, you're going with?
Everybody thinks it's time for him to do something, I guess.
Exactly.
I got a first-time winner today. I'm going to guess we're going to get another one. I got a Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota in the form of Daniel Suarez.
How about that? There you go.
Hey, there you go.
All right. Many, many thanks to everybody. Many thanks to Christian. Appreciate you jumping in here with us this morning. Even when we didn't expect it. Everybody, please get over and check in on onpitroad.com. Onpitroad.com is where you can catch up with Christian and the rest of the crew over there. Writing up everything in motorsports. That is what you want to be checking out. Get them on the internet and Facebook as well, right? Facebook page.
Yep.
Many thanks to everybody that has been listening in. I know loyal listener Liz has been out there, so many thanks, Liz. Appreciate it. And many thanks to everybody that's been listening in. Programming reminders and changes for this week. Frat House Sports, our flagship program, will not air on Thursday night. It will air on a special night, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You want to be here for our flagship program. We will be joined by a special guest. Rick Curdy will be joining us, who is the CEO of the Charlotte Bats. If you're wondering what that is, well, guess what? You're going to want to listen to the program to find out. It might just be the very next brand new Major League Baseball team. You're going to want to be tuning into that as we'll be talking with Rick Curdy, the CEO of that possible brand new team. So that'll be coming to you on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and then I'll be back here with you next Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for another relaxed Frat House Saturday. There's our programming for this week. Many thanks to everybody again for listening in. Hey, listen, go enjoy the race.